his quest to build a vanity project called The Wall. This is irresponsible. It's the height of irresponsibility for the commander-in-chief to suggest that we have to build a wall across our southern border because there are terrorists who are trying to invade the country. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
Vintage Kamala, 2019. What a fine bottle that is.
Sounds kind of stupid now to me.
I'm offended that you used the word kind of. Sounds incredibly stupid. There are so many of these. I could do a whole show on these, but nobody would listen. You'd be like, we got the point.
It's weird because the point with her, Kilmeade makes this point a lot too, is that she never really has anything you can pin her down on because she just says everything all the time.
She's like liquid.
Yeah.
You pin her down and she just moves. Whoop. Just in that spot.
She's the blob.
That's probably like wrong to say or something. I don't know. Here's another one. Listen to this one. This is our
you
Breakfast Club one.
Legalizing weed.
That's not true.
I know.
and look, I joke about it, half joking. Half my family's from Jamaica. Are you kidding me?
You ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
I have. Like and I inhale. I did inhale.
What a weird thing. There's more, but what a weird thing to say. I do smoke and I inhaled. Everybody hear that? I inhaled the marijuana.
It's like that scene from Robin Hood Men in Tights. I, unlike some other presidents, inhaled the marijuana.
It's just so obviously pandery.
Uh-huh.
You don't... Well, anyway.
It's really hysterical for the former attorney general of that state to talk about doing something illegal, laughing about it, giggling about it, and trying to get some traction for it. Among the people that were upset by it, her dad, Donald Harris, from Jamaica, an economics professor at Stanford University, says this: my dear departed grandmothers, as well as my deceased parents, must be turning in their grave right now to see their family's name, reputation, and proud Jamaican identity being connected in any way, jokingly or not, with the fraudulent stereotype of pot-smoking, joy-seeking, and a pursuit of identity politics. Man, yeah. That what a blast at his daughter who wants to be the next president.
No kidding. He added, and he had sent this statement to Jamaica Global Online. He said, speaking for myself and my immediate Jamaican family, we wish to categorically disassociate ourselves from this travesty.
You know, like one of the most common things that I say to my family, I've even said it to you guys, like my goal is just not to embarrass the family.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. And it was an embarrassment to the family. When your dad, a professor at Stanford's like, point of order. I have to say, no, none of that. We want to completely disassociate it.
Yeah, that wasn't just a no. That's not who we are. That was a written op-ed into a newspaper seeking to, quote, categorically disassociate themselves from it. It's pretty extreme.
I'm just going through all of these different clips that I have right now. This clip, I almost want to play the video, but we'll just play the clip for right now. We might circle back, one might say, to this later on in the show. But it was so incredibly weird to watch when the prisoners, the Russian prisoners, finally made it home last night. Joe Biden is there. Kamala Harris is there. Joe Biden is at most there.
Mm-hmm.
He was present. And he's standing there and Kamala Harris is, it's got to be a very awkward position for Kamala to be in because she can't overshadow him in the sense that people question that he's still permitted to be the president of the United States because if you know much about the 25th Amendment, the cabinet can initiate that or the vice president can initiate that. But the vice president's role in guarding the office of the president from a president who is incapable is pretty substantial. And so she's got to not overshadow him, but she also has to look presidential everywhere she goes. So how do you do this? Especially when the president of the United States is just standing there staring, not doing much. So they're asked about this. Kamala Harris is going to say what I'm about to play for you here. But the best part of the whole thing was Joe Biden went and got on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
He went and got on the plane. He starts, like, they kind of look like they're wrapping it up. If there is a better explanation for this than what it looks like, somebody tell me and I will correct the record lickety split, because it's incredibly sad to watch it. He just kind of starts to shuffle and he goes up the short stairs to this plane that just brought these prisoners back from Russia. They went to Turkey and then wherever. And he just goes up the stairs and disappears. Nobody follows him.
Yeah.
Nobody is receiving him. Everybody is looking around, because you have to think in that moment. And listen, politics is optics. Everything is optics. When Joe Biden was standing on the front of that stage with Jimmy Kimmel and Barack Obama, and he wasn't moving, they had to choose how to get to point B from point A without optically creating a problem. They know that stuff. Jimmy Kimmel, he gets it. He's a performer. He's on stage. That's what he does. Barack Obama is a politician. They are the best performers. And the best performers win the elections because they're able to sell to you an idea that you see yourself in and want more of. That doesn't mean it's deceitful. It certainly can be. But you have to perform in order to be a good politician. You have to be able to sell something that people want to be a part of. And Barack Obama is tops at it, which is why you could go back to right after this happened. I think that Barack Obama put his hand on Joe Biden's back intentionally. I think he held his arm, guided him away intentionally. I think that that was purposeful. The only other alternative is there was no other way to get Joe Biden off the stage. It was the only thing you could do. And the optics be darned. So Joe Biden, at this reception for these prisoners, now on American soil, ironic and weird to me that when they get off the plane, the first people who they have to greet is the president and the vice president and not their families.
Yeah.
I would prioritize the embrace of the families. But that's not how this went. It was president and vice president that received them, and then they went to their families. So they're standing there, they're doing their thing, and then all of a sudden Joe Biden wanders up into the plane. And you can tell when you watch the video, everyone's like, do we go get him? If we go get him, what does that look like? All of the cameras are here. You can't go retrieve him. You just got to assume that he was checking things out and making sure everything was okay. So then eventually he comes back down. There's one point where Kamala Harris, he goes up to the stage. Everyone's kind of calmly watching him. And then you've done this before around other people where you're like trying to make eye contact with the other person in the room who's thinking the same thing you're thinking. And you just kind of like look over and you're like, and then you tilt your head and the other person tilts their head. And then you realize we see the same thing here. And then they wait and Kamala Harris kind of turns around and looks slowly. And then she comes back. And then eventually Joe Biden wanders off the plane. That was after Kamala Harris gave us this eloquent set of words.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
Lots of words. She repeats the words and then she describes the words that she's repeated. That's how she does it. It doesn't make much sense, but that's what she does on the regular. I don't think that she's going to be able to pull this off for the next 95 days. I don't think she can do it because people see through it. People are going to vote for Kamala Harris if they really don't want Donald Trump to be the president. Done. It's in the bag. Don't even have to worry about that. I think more people are going to stomach voting for Kamala Harris than would have stomached voting for Joe Biden, that they feel like it's more of a known quantity to them. They'd be willing to roll the dice with Kamala more than they were willing to roll their dice on Joe Biden. But people are not going to buy this recasting of who Kamala Harris is in those types of words.
Well, she's trying to recast herself and the Democrats, who, again, their party platform centers around power and control. You know who's less free, who has less economic freedom, or working families? They're working harder. They're paying more for everything, about $10,000 more a year, because they've declared war on domestic energy production. Kamala Harris was one of the first signers on for the Green New Deal. She was the deciding vote, Laura, on two major pieces of legislation. She didn't just advocate for it. She was the deciding vote as the president president of the Senate as VP on the Inflation Reduction Act and the American Recovery Act that pumped trillions of dollars wasteful spending into our economy that has driven high inflation. So it's harder to go on vacation. It's harder to send your kid to school you want to send to. It's harder to get by. It's harder to save. All these things are a result of Democrat policies. And you know who's more free? Criminals. Kamala Harris was AG. She was soft on crime. Since then, she's advocated for defunding the police, abolishing ICE. Criminals and illegal immigrants are more free, but working families are stuck with the price tag.
Eric Schmidt is such a fantastic senator because when he's saying this, it's not, I like him, so maybe it's subjective. Okay, fine. I don't hear anger and emotion and hatred when he's saying these very factual things. And I think that that translates to people. I think people are looking for not desensitized, but just rational. What are the facts? Somebody just give me the honest facts. And if you look at her time as vice president and how she has been the deciding vote in the Senate, and then if you decide to take a peek on her voting record when she did choose to show up to vote in the United States Senate, it's atrocious if you're a moderate. I mean, yeah, of course. She's a Democrat senator from California. She's from San Francisco. You can't get further from conservative ideals than a San Francisco Democrat. But she is way out of sight for anybody in this country who's moderate. And she is way, way out of sight for anybody in this country who wants less government intervention in their life, more freedom, less government intervention in your wallet, higher expenses with taxes. You're going to get that with Kamala Harris. There is not a government program that she is not interested in trying with your money. So she is going to try to be the non-Trump, non-Joe Biden darling as long as she can. And I don't think she's going to get
away. Yeah, I hope she keeps talking about that, actually. And she's going to avoid interviews as long as she can. They're going to try to hide her like they hid Joe Biden in 2020. But I would love for this race to be about, if the media lets it, to be about the last, you know, Trump's 4 years and then the Biden-Harris 4 years. Because we had a secure border. We were energy dominant. We weren't, you know, the world wasn't on fire abroad. People were making more money. Every racial, ethnic group you could think of was doing much better. So I hope that's what this race is all about.
Same, same. The YouTube live chat poll for today, this is what I want to know from you. Is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? Is her race important in the presidential race? Yes or no? We certainly heard Donald Trump's comments on this at the Black Journalists Convention. This is what he had to say.
She was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman. She went to a historically black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you believe
that she is? I think somebody should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
I mean, there's the point of what he's saying, and then there's just so much more there. Donald Trump talked about it. He didn't bring it up. It was the first thing they asked him, was a race question, and then bringing it into Kamala Harris. So our poll question is, I don't want you to look at this like, is her race an important topic? Like, this isn't a do you support Donald Trump's comments, so to speak. Is the topic of her race? Yes, she's Indian. As I understand, wouldn't you say she's black?
I've always
she's part black.
Assumed that she identified as both Indian and black.
Isn't that a pretty usual thing to do mm-hmm. in the melting pot of the United States of America mm-hmm. to be both, like to be multiple things?
Yeah, I didn't really think that was much of a question.
It is now.
Until whatever it was Tuesday.
The difference is, as I said yesterday and I've said before in the show, the difference is me saying my grandma's a quarter Australian and being like, oh, yeah, I'm Australian. You know, I don't start calling cookies biscuits when I'm around Australian people to be like, I'm one of you.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of all the things that I know that translate, and that's the main one. And g'day, mate.
Crikey.
I think the problem is, and Donald Trump's point is, not at all what her race is. It's how she uses it to play an audience. And that's his allegation. Maybe you agree with that. Maybe you don't agree with that. But I'm curious if you think that Kamala Harris's race is an important topic. Today, in the next 95 days, over the course of this presidential race. Now, I'm going to open up the phones. We don't do this a lot, but I like to give you guys the opportunity to call in, because the question I have for you is, how do you assess where we are right now? We've just entered August. How do you assess the candidates and their position right now to become the president of the United States? Yesterday, we asked you if you thought Kamala Harris could win. We had like close to 350 votes in the poll yesterday, and I think 72% of you said, yeah, she can absolutely win. So you know that you have two viable candidates right now trying to earn your vote in November. How do you feel about the way Kamala is running her race? Do you think she's doing well? Do you think that she's gaining? How do you feel about how Donald Trump is running his race right now? You can call us, pick one of the candidates, and assess what they're doing. How would you have them do it differently? What are they doing that you love? We want to hear from you. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You call us and let's assess the state of the campaign right now since we're in August. And we'll take your phone calls when we come back. We always enjoy doing this and hearing what y'all have to say. A lot of times you kind of make us think in a different way than we had been before. 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
It's interesting. If people want to save TikTok, they have to vote for me. If they don't want to save TikTok, you know, well, let's see what happens. But China doesn't want me to win, obviously, because I was kicking China's ass. Nobody ever beat China. I took hundreds of billions of dollars out of China. I took contracts away from China. I took the phone system away from China going to Italy and to other countries. China will do everything they can. And it's one of the things that's really a little bit nerve-wracking. They are putting the full force. They don't want me. They want to continue to rip off America.
There's a message. If you want to save TikTok, you have to vote for Donald Trump. There are votes there. You just got to make people understand why.
He just always surprises me with these random things he pulls out. I never would have expected him to say, I'm going to be your TikTok candidate.
Do you know why, though? It's because he understands it. He's not waiting for someone to feed him these things.
Yeah.
Which Kamala Harris is only getting fed things. Mm-hmm. We are asking you right now to grade or assess or advise the campaigns of Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, the presumptive nominee. But I'm more confident that Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee than that she's not. But I am waiting, and I've said this forever, I'm waiting till the end of the convention till we have an actual nominee. 314-241-9797. Call us, and you can get on the air and quickly assess what you think about the campaigns and maybe what you would do differently. 314-241-9797. Let's start with Joe. Joe, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So far, I think the Harris campaign is doing a good job, but they can only hide her for so long and do so many, you know, real easy appearances where she can get up on stage and come across with a real positive message. And at the same time, change some of her prior statements and prior positions. I think what Trump needs to do, the Trump campaign needs to do, is focus on how tough of a prosecutor she was and how bad San Francisco is. I have friends that have moved out of San Francisco because of literally they couldn't go from their multi-million dollar condominium to their grocery store without walking through a homeless encampment. So, I mean, San Francisco is literally, and this is right by Ghirardelli Square.
Yeah.
I mean, it is bad. The San Francisco's not what it used to be, unfortunately, and I love going to San Francisco.
I appreciate Joe, you're keying in on something really important here. Thank you for the phone call about Kamala Harris and San Francisco. That's the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows the San Francisco story. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about California Democrats. You hone in on San Francisco. She's a San Francisco Democrat. That is the solution in my mind to making sure that people understand here are the things that Donald Trump wants to do. Here is where Kamala Harris comes from. And here is, exhibit A, B, C, D, all the way through the alphabet of ways that she's tried to bring San Francisco to your doorstep. Over and over and over again. Let's get to Linda's call here. If you guys want to join us, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Linda, thank you for calling the show. What do you think?
Hi, Annie.
Hello.
I think Kamala Harris is really proud that she inhales all the time. And I think she's still inhaling. She was on late night TV during the 2020 debates, and Tulsi Gabbard tore up on stage because her prosecution record, she was prosecuting people for that same thing and leaving them in longer than their terms.
Yeah. That is very true. And that clip, when it comes back up again and again, every time you watch it and you watch Tulsi Gabbard calmly, effectively slice and dice Kamala Harris's record on that specific thing, that issue, her job as attorney general, where she was locking people up for things that she'd bragged about doing in a pandering moment with the Breakfast Club, that does not sit well with people.
No, this is the callers are hitting really good points here. These are things you really can show in a TV ad. You can talk about, I mean, you talk about San Francisco. Unless you are from San Francisco and you have some sort of past view of it, your view of it right now is dirty, it's drugs, it's homeless.
What's the number one thing you think about when you think about San Francisco?
That. I think about people pooping on the sidewalk.
Poop on the street!
Yeah.
Let's say poop map.
Poop on the street. The poop map that Ron DeSantis pulled out of his jacket when he was debating Gavin Newsom. He's like, here's where the poop is.
And that was so effective. And we talked about it in terms of Gavin Newsom versus DeSantis, but we haven't with Kamala Harris versus Trump.
Not as much as we should. Because it's accurate. I mean, it's not like a good smear, to use a word. It's accurate. It's the future, if that's what you choose to accept in this election.
Yeah, it's not a good smear. It's a very good log.
314-241-9797. The next caller gets to have Ryan Wiggins' seat in the studio. Get out of here. Oh, I'm just kidding. Let's go to Marcellus. Marcellus, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about these campaigns?
Well, I just want to say this. I am a black male. I'm voting for Trump no matter what. However, I do have some brethren that I'm trying to move in that direction. However, they're a little turned off about his bombastic way of speaking. And he tends to always only include himself in his accomplishments. Now, we all know that everything that Trump accomplished that was good for the economy in his first administration, he didn't do that alone.
Yeah.
But when he's challenged, he tends to say, I, you know, and we know it's not I. And my wife can tell you that. I didn't get where I'm at because I did it all on my own. I had someone by my side that supported me. So he needs to include his group of advisors. And no matter what we see or hear in the media, we're going to be challenged in every way because the Democrats have the media in their pocket. So the misinformation and things of that nature is going to be more prevalent.
Marcellus, you seem really confident in the reason you're voting for Trump, and what you seem to have a little trepidation about is moving your friends past the selfish, kind of egotistical reputation that Donald Trump has. Are your friends default Kamala Harris voters? Are they default going to go to the polls to vote for Harris, and you're trying to get them to switch to Trump? Do they support Harris?
No, they don't necessarily support Harris because the way I'm trying to move them is we need to think about our children. Right now, we're going to go through some trials and tribulations as we get older, but we need to look ahead. And I think the Harris, this is how I'm selling them, I think the Harris administration if they were to get in office, would just make it worse for my babies and my grandkids.
What part about the future of a Harris presidency bothers you about how it will affect your kids?
Well, I think right now we're trying to fight toward getting religion put back in schools. We're trying to get back into communities, more or less, you know, having churches and communities for people to more or less understand each other on a human, you know, as human beings. And the economy. I would like my grandkids to be able to own a house.
Yes.
Or go to college and to more or less whatever degree, the program they you know, choose to pursue, they can get a job in that, you know, in that sector. But, you know, I'm not saying anything against botanists or what have you. I'm sure there's something out there for you. But some of these colleges are now coming up with things that make really no sense.
Marcellus, I want you to recommend to your friends to listen to the show and give me a heads up when they're going to do it. We'll do a segment just for them. How's that sound?
Okay.
Sound good?
That sounds great.
Yeah, you can go to AnnieFryShow.com and send me an email on the contact thing there, and maybe we can set something up. I think that would be fun. Thank you for calling the show. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Annie.
Yep. You know, the first thing that he tells us is that he's a black man voting for Donald Trump. That's happening. And then he tells us about the things that are important to his future. They're things that are important to everybody's future.
Exactly.
There's no like category of issues that are specifically important to him. It's the American dream to be able to do the things that he's saying, and to know that when you look forward to your grandchildren and the America that they're going to experience, that it is what you got to experience and better. There's no race associated with any of that,
which is great.
Yes.
I mean, it's exactly what we need to be voting on.
We're going to take a couple more phone calls here. Let's go with Caleb. Caleb, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Real quick, what are your thoughts on one or the other campaigns, Harris and Trump?
Hey, good afternoon. I agree with the last caller. He's a little bombastic. I think he needs to... Trump, I'm speaking of.
Yeah, we got you. Marcellus is going, hey!
I think he gets himself in a lot of trouble how off the cuff he is. But that's one of the reasons that I really like him.
It's that double-edged sword.
Doesn't go off of... Say again?
It's that double-edged sword where you kind of... The good
right.
and the bad, it's all in one thing. You can't really separate them.
Right. He goes off of his heart. He's not reading off of a team written paper of a focused group idea. But the left tends to focus in on... The little micro instances where he gets himself in trouble, whereas anybody in life will get themselves in trouble if they speak from the mind, if you just segment it down to a 2-second clip. But the whole context of the idea is strong in what ultimately most Republicans are voting for.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I appreciate you adding to that conversation there that Marcellus started, because the bombastic nature is part of him being his own man. And that's, you know, when you have the super polished, like, I just want somebody who's, you know, really professional and really polished. I mean, in fact, that is an act. It doesn't mean it's a lie. Doesn't mean it's a deception inherently. But the super polished nature of it is part of a performance. And Trump just does it a little bit differently. Kara, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about these two races as we enter here in August?
Well, I think that Trump needs to start calling Kamala the chameleon.
Yeah.
Because she changes with every person you talk to, every district, everywhere she goes, she flip-flops and changes around. And Trump is the real thing. He will tell you like it is. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. He's going to tell you like it is.
Yeah.
And she's just flip-flopping everything.
She's whoever you need her to be in that moment at that time. And people will see through that. One more call before we go to a break here. John, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
Yeah, Annie, I'm concerned because I believe that she's going to get a lot of votes just because of her skin color.
Yeah, but I mean...
I'm not convinced that, well, as a matter of fact, I know she can't do the job, but she's going to get a lot of votes just because of her skin color, and she's going to play that very heavy in the African-American community. I'm African-American myself, but I cannot see myself voting for Kamala Harris.
What is what is it about her that you're not interested in supporting?
I'm not interested in supporting her flip-flopping. I'm not interested in supporting her in any direction, because she says whatever she needs to say to try to convince people to get the votes. This lady is, I mean, she's not truthful. She's not truthful at all. She watched Biden go down the drain and said nothing. Look at her record. Look at her record. I would just invite people to look at her record when she was Attorney General there in San Diego and see how many African-American people, thumb through, had, you know, did the wrong thing and they had to go to jail. Mm. But she put more African-American men in jail than any other Attorney General in the history of that city.
John, I want to ask you, so you identified yourself as a black male, and I want to know if when you hear Donald Trump talking, he went to that black journalist convention, was sitting there, and it was a hostile situation. And of course, he met the hostility that was on that stage with his own hostility. That's what the guy does. I don't even know. I'm a white woman and I want to talk about these issues and I want to, you know, talk about the black vote. But I think it's kind of pandery to talk about the black vote. Like, you would vote like a monolith. You're obviously saying yourself that there are black people who are going to vote for her based on her skin color, but you yourself as a black man aren't. What do you want to encourage people to understand about the complication of identity politics, especially as they apply to this race?
When you look at the country, the state of the country today, everybody should ask themselves a question. Who's going to better serve me and my family? When you look at the 8 years Barack Obama was in office, nothing was accomplished for African Americans. Nothing that you can put, you can't even shake a stick at it. When you look at Joe Biden, nothing was accomplished. When you look at the statistics of what happened the 4 years of Trump administration, African-American, Hispanic, Asian, white, everybody was on the come up. And that's what we need to do. We need to choose somebody, regardless, and I know Trump is God, he's, a lot of things that he says, I cringe. But he's met hostily because of he's a white man. He's at this black journalism thing, and the media has painted him as being somebody who is prejudiced. Kamala Harris will be the first one to say he's racist. He did the same thing to Joe Biden. I would encourage African-American, whites, Hispanics, look at the record. Don't just look at a person's skin color. Look at the record and make your decisions according to the record rather than skin color. And that will turn this country around.
Ryan, John's going to take your chair.
John, you want to come in studio for the rest of the
John,
show?
John, you're my favorite, and I appreciate you. You speak so much common sense.
I will be there. I will be there in about 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm going to take off.
We've got to stop voting for a person just because of their skin color.
Yes.
We've got to look at what's going to benefit your family. You know, I'm looking and I hate to keep going on, but I'm listening to all of the politics. I'm listening to the politics playing out in the St. Louis area. All I'm hearing is woman's right to choose, fighting for abortion, fighting for this. You know, wait a minute. is that the only thing you got to campaign on? Is that abortion? Where is our integrity? Because every woman that's getting pregnant and having an abortion is not being raped.
Yeah, you can have my chair too. Hey, John, I don't know if you feel comfortable doing this, but I'm going to ask you to, if you would go to AnnieFryShow.com and send an email to the contact thing. I would like to get in. I would like to talk to you more. And I'm just thinking here, like, what if we had a John and Marcellus panel and they came in for an hour and we just talked about this stuff in studio? John, would you be interested in doing that?
I would love it.
All right. Well, get in contact with us so we can get in contact with you. And I really appreciate your common sense approach to this. And I really am very incredibly grateful that you listen to the show. Thank you for being out there. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, Brad, you're going to produce the show and John's going to be here in 15 minutes.
I mean, come on. Why don't we vote on policies is what both of those were. I mean, actually, everybody who called was saying that. Why are we looking so much at personalities and outward characteristics and not voting on the policies of people who we've seen how they govern?
If you like that idea of us having John and Marcellus, of course, if they're listening and they can get in contact with us, would you like to have those kind of listener panels? I think that would be an incredible thing to do, where maybe people can call in even and challenge them while they're in here. We need to get to know them and everything. I hope they're not crazy. They sure don't sound. They sound pretty sane to me.
Well, we'll find out live.
Oh, man. What a great set of calls. Thank you to everybody who reached out. We got to take a quick break. We're going to put B or not the B in 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, sounds good.
And we'll talk a little bit about this poll. Is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? I think John just answered that question. What do you think? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
And the only reason she's popular now is because Biden was so unpopular. They're just so thankful he's gone. Wait until they get a few moments with her. This is a lot like 1988. Dukakis was sitting in mid-July 17 points up, right? And then we found out he was weak on crime. He was letting Willie Horton out. Wait till you see her. She's a Soros prosecutor. Mm. She's worse. And then we found out, we saw Dukakis in that helmet. Unpresidential? Think about the decisions that she's going to make in the process.
Yeah, don't put on a helmet, Kamala. You don't want to do that.
Kamala with the Dukakis reference. That's never good in politics. The YouTube live chat poll for today is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? Yes or no? Ryan, what do you think?
As the question is written, I'm actually going to say yes, because it's been made a important topic. It might be the most important topic for those trying to get her elected, that she would be a history maker. I don't want it to be, but I'm going to say yes to this question.
My knee-jerk reaction was initially no, but then the more I thought about it and the more I interacted with people on chat, the more I see that it does matter to a certain group of people that are on the left. This matters.
I'm a no. I'm a heck no. Because the people that it matters to, they're decided.
Okay.
And I mean, it's literally on the face. prima facie, whatever. I hear smart legal people say that. Prima facie.
Is that Latin?
Clearly, I don't think what I said is. it's somewhere around that, like pig Latin. I don't know. There's no depth there. It's on the surface. And that's, I mean, by virtue of looking at Kamala Harris, she is a person of color. A lot of people have made the distinction in the live chat today that she is Jamaican. Jamaican people consider themselves to be black, but they are not African American because they're Jamaican. So, okay. But I mean, like, what is black? Certainly not for me to say. None of it matters. And I don't think, I truly don't believe that people who are moderate, who are the ones who are going to decide this election in a few counties across the country, are leaning in on this issue in any way, shape, or form to decide what they're going to do. They don't care at all. Not at all. Think about how incredible it is that we have progressed that far in this country. The Civil War was not really that long ago in the span of time. And to think that we have gotten to this point, a black man has been the president of the United States. Kamala Harris is a woman of color, and she is the presumptive nominee for the Democrat Party. It doesn't matter at all. I am a emphatic heck no on this. Some people might try to make it that because it's simple, because it's cut and dry. I don't think that diversity gets to have a party. Just one side of the aisle is trying to make it that way. Let's talk more about it when we come back. You go vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. I think John just answered that question. What do you think? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
And the only reason she's popular now is because Biden was so unpopular. They're just so thankful he's gone. Wait until they get a few moments with her. This is a lot like 1988. Dukakis was sitting in mid-July 17 points up, right? And then we found out he was weak on crime. He was letting Willie Horton out. Wait till you see her. She's a Soros prosecutor. Mm. She's worse. And then we found out, we saw Dukakis in that helmet. Unpresidential? Think about the decisions that she's going to make in the process.
Yeah, don't put on a helmet, Kamala. You don't want to do that.
Kamala with the Dukakis reference. That's never good in politics. The YouTube live chat poll for today is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? Yes or no? Ryan, what do you think?
As the question is written, I'm actually going to say yes, because it's been made a important topic. It might be the most important topic for those trying to get her elected, that she would be a history maker. I don't want it to be, but I'm going to say yes to this question.
My knee-jerk reaction was initially no, but then the more I thought about it and the more I interacted with people on chat, the more I see that it does matter to a certain group of people that are on the left. This matters.
I'm a no. I'm a heck no, because the people that it matters to, they're decided.
Okay.
And I mean, it's literally on the face. prima facie, whatever. I hear smart legal people say that. Prima facie.
Is that Latin?
Clearly, I don't think what I said is. it's somewhere around that, like pig Latin. I don't know. There's no depth there. It's on the surface. And that's, I mean, by virtue of looking at Kamala Harris, she is a person of color. A lot of people have made the distinction in the live chat today that she is Jamaican. Jamaican people consider themselves to be black, but they are not African American because they're Jamaican. So, okay. But I mean, like, what is black? Certainly not for me to say. None of it matters. And I don't think, I truly don't believe that people who are moderate, who are the ones who are going to decide this election in a few counties across the country, are leaning in on this issue in any way, shape, or form to decide what they're going to do. They don't care at all. Not at all. Think about how incredible it is that we have progressed that far in this country. The Civil War was not really that long ago in the span of time. And to think that we have gotten to this point, a black man has been the president of the United States, Kamala Harris is a woman of color, and she is the presumptive nominee for the Democrat Party. It doesn't matter at all. I am a emphatic heck no on this. Some people might try to make it that because it's simple, because it's cut and dry. I don't think that diversity gets to have a party. Just one side of the aisle is trying to make it that way. Let's talk more about it when we come back. You go vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.